Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
I think it's time that we discuss the much awaited topic, dating multiple men. Yes, curating your roster, as some may call it. Creating your workforce, as others may identify it. Yes. Now, I may or may not get my ass beat for this particular episode because some of the girlies enjoy the monogamous life. Many of the girlies prefer to be monofaceted in their approach to dealing with men. I think majority of the girlies would identify as like a super romantic, one man type of girl. And I just want you to know that that doesn't have to be your identity. But at the same time, you don't have to stray too far from what works for you in order to maybe embody and implement some of these ideas. So when it comes to dating multiple men, why are people so apprehensive towards it? Well, I would say one of the main reasons that people tend to shy away from the idea of dating multiple men is because it sounds and comes across like a logistical nightmare, meaning that a lot of women find that it's stressful in theory to date multiple people because they feel like they need to lie. They feel like they need to be multiple versions of themselves with each guy. They feel like they have to maintain various levels of attention for different people. And I just want to tell you, yes, all of those things are true. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it's not as exhausting as you think. In fact, I would throw the word exhausting in the bin for this because exhausting is such a reach. Let me tell you what's exhausting. Being with one guy who you feel like you have to ask if you can check his phone, being with one guy who you feel like you've emotionally invested so much in that you see no alternative for yourself. Let me tell you what's exhausting. Being with one guy and being so bound to him that every little thing he does hurts your feelings and you have no way to process that outside of coming to him in tears or chewing your homegirl's ear off about this guy that you're definitely not going to leave anyway. Okay, let me tell you what's exhausting. Putting all of your eggs into one flimsy polystyrene basket that you call a man and hoping that this basket will self-manage. That's exhausting. And as somebody who has tried both sides of the spectrum, meaning I have been that person who is like ultra monogamous, focused only on the one guy that I like, and also having tried being that woman who has dated multiple men, I'm just going to tell you that dating multiple men is so much easier and will actually help you to better identify the men that are good for you. And of course, I will explain why. But I really want to still tackle this issue of being with just one man because you really, really like him. I worry when I hear the phrase, I've never liked a guy this much. He's the only guy that I've ever felt like I really, really finally want to marry. It's not a bad thing. I just want to make that clear. There's nothing wrong with feeling like you found someone who you truly resonate with and can see yourself spending significant portions of your future with. I think if things are going well, it's supposed to feel like that. Where I find that concerning is if the person who is saying that she feels that way about a guy is constantly, frequently, consistently in problems with that guy that are largely avoidable, but due to that man's immaturity, unwillingness to change, and that man's commitment to his own malevolent tendencies, this girl feels like she's stuck in this weird thing where, like, oh, I've invested so much emotionally now that I can't really leave. And because I've already solidified the fantasy that me and this guy are going to get married, I need to just stick things through. And, you know, we are working on it. Which one is we are working on it? I don't like this we are working on it phrase, because when women be saying we are working on it, more time, the guy is unwilling to change, has repeatedly offended you, hurt you, embarrassed you, and you're the one saying we are working on it. Because the reality is the work, your input in this work is really just you tolerating a guy who is unwilling to change and you giving this man more of what he doesn't appreciate. And because he's the only guy you have, and because you have formed tunnel vision for this man, and because you have zeroed in on the idea of him being the man for you, you have no external perspective of what other men could be like. And so it gets harder for you to believe that life can be different and that it doesn't have to be this hard. Whereas if you were someone who still had this guy in the picture, but you were entertaining other guys who are giving you attention, and I mean the kind of attention that's actually useful and valuable for your life, you wouldn't find it as hard to take some time out from your favorite guy of the month or your main guy who you've got more of your focus on. This is why I believe that no matter how well things are going with a guy, it's still important to just leave that small, tiny, teeny weeny window of communication open with other men. Especially if those other men are men of similar caliber to the guy you like. Granted, hopefully, the guy that you like is actually useful, beneficial, and playing a significant role in your life, i.e. paying them bills, giving you money, taking you on trips, is romantic, he's showing up and showing out. Do you know what I'm saying? The bare minimum. The caveat here is, of course, if you're married or you're in a genuine place where you feel like you're getting the commitment and investment that you require from this guy, then maybe you don't need to necessarily keep other guys entertained. But, you know, if you're out on your own, another guy wants to buy you a drink, maybe buy you a handbag, buy you perfume, you're not going to say no. But, you know, for the girlies who are not even in the stage of marriage and are just dating, my biggest ick is seeing women fling all their eggs into one basket because the guy has got a nice jawline and he's good looking and you guys have great sexual chemistry and he's nice to you. And as you can see, I'm just allergic to the idea of hedging all your bets on this one guy and then cutting yourself off from the external world. Because girl, do you think men are doing the same thing that you're doing, whereby you think a man's going to come across a woman that he resonates with and enjoys having sex with, therefore he's going to just completely cut every single other woman off, not have any kind of mildly flirty interactions with other women? You think men are doing what women are doing? Or do you think men are constantly keeping a window of flirty communication slightly open? That door is never closed. It's always slightly ajar. Slightly teeny weeny ajar. Why do you think that is? Why do you think men are able to move on so quickly? I constantly see women talking about, oh my God, I don't understand how men are able to just move on quickly. I understand why men are able to move on quickly. It's not rocket science. It's because they always have other people that they're talking to. And you know, this whole thing of always having other people that you're talking to, it's not like they are pillow talking every single other girl in their little attention roster. It's more just that they do this thing where, again, they'll leave little breadcrumbs in, like, maybe let's say they've got three girls who they breadcrumb via social media, right? So usually how social media breadcrumbing would work is, you know those guys who, and we all have a guy like that, because none of us are exempt from this, but you know them guys who they are always liking your pictures when you post them on your stories, right? And they probably won't even like it on the grid, but they like it on the story. Once in the odd while, they might even send a fire emoji or a heart eye emoji. And then maybe if they're really feeling brave and frisky, they might reply to your story with a little compliment, or they might even try and open up a conversation. But you notice with those guys, for some reason, it never really goes anywhere. It never goes anywhere, as in, you feel like they're on the edge of asking you out, or they never ask for your number, or they constantly make comments that make you think, oh yeah, I got this guy whipped. He fancies me. He can't stop watching my stories. Whole time, because he's got a girlfriend. Or his hands are full. The conveyor belt is full of girls, okay? You're just another appetizer. If that man wanted to take you on a date, he knows how to ask you out on a date, I promise you. You're not too pretty for him to find the words. He's not shy. He's occupied. So you might be wondering, well, if a guy who's occupied is this busy, why is he even sending me these social media breadcrumbs? Because he's setting his plan B in place. One thing about men, they're always going to have a plan B, okay? The plan B might not even get a quarter of the attention that you're getting as his flavor of the month, but plan B is always going to be around. And how you know that plan B is about to replace plan A is when that guy who was breadcrumbing you, sending you hot eye emojis and never really taking it further, suddenly starts trying to involve himself in more convo with you. Suddenly finds the guts out of nowhere to ask you on a date. And then you get excited because finally it's happened. He's been liking my pictures on my stories for ages, and oh, he just can't get enough of me. He's finally caved into his desire for me and has asked me out on a date. I just knew he couldn't resist me. Whole time, he was setting up the oven on preheat. All them times when he was liking your stories, that's the oven being preheated, babe. At the time when he was liking your stories, he couldn't like your pictures on your main grid because he's got a girlfriend, and that's going to leave a paper trail. One of my biggest icks, yeah, is, oh, you know when your friend has a boyfriend and you are just randomly scrolling on your explore page, you come across this really gorgeous girl, you know, classic Instagram baddie, come across this classic Instagram baddie that you've never seen before. You go have a brief glimpse through her page and you see that your friend's man's already in the likes. Oh, have some self-control, young man. Must you like, can't you like it in your head? Must you press like? See, I don't like that kind of thing. I hate that. So there are some men who have more respect, yeah? And they at least will like it in their head. Because one thing about me, I have come to the stage of maturity where I accept and realize that all the men think about is women. All they think about is having sex with women. Men value pussy more than they value money. I'm not deluded enough to believe that just because a guy likes me, that's it. His eyes are closed off to every other woman. Having said that, though, it's all about how you go about these desires. So, yeah, those men who be feeling comfortable liking women's photos on the grid out loud, that to me feels like the equivalent of if I'm out with a man and he's looking at other women in front of me. Because what I'm going to start doing is I'm going to start looking at other men in front of him. Hashtag equality. You don't ever feel special because men are giving you attention on Instagram. They're setting you up to become their backup for when their main girlfriend finally gets bored of them and you're up next. So as a woman, it's important to do the same thing, yeah? Since men like to call themselves leaders, they're leading by example. The example that they're setting as leaders is that it's okay to have plan B, plan C, plan D and plan E, i.e. having other women in the bleachers, as in sat on the bench, waiting to be replaced or waiting to be the replacement. So as a woman who's just going to follow the example of said leaders in air quotes, me too, I'm going to have my other men on the bench. Yes, and they're all happy to be there because men love attention from women. They fucking live for it. They don't even care if they're not the main. They just love getting attention from women. All you need to do is have pretty face, big batty, titties. You don't even need to have all three. You just need to have at least one of those. And that's enough for men. Do you know that? That's how basic men are. So it's not hard to have a roster. So when people be like, oh, giving multiple men attention, oh, that's so tiring. It's like, no, it's not, babe. That's how I know you've never tried it. That's how I know that you are a novice in this. If you think that it's tiring to have a roster, wait till you actually realize how tiring it is to put all of your energy into one man and to be spending all that energy hoping and wondering and praying that he doesn't embarrass you and cheat on you because you've put all of your energy into him. It's like, well, girl, joke's on you for overinvesting in a guy. I hate that shit so much. It's annoying. I really don't like it when women refuse to accept that they have power. It's like, you're a woman. You do the choosing. You can decide when your roster is small, when it's large. You can decide to focus on just one guy. You need to have multiple men so that you know why you like your main one. Do you get? So why don't we talk about what makes a good roster? Because I love building a roster based on the different things that you might need in your life. Okay, so the key components here to what make a good roster. First of all, diversity. Diversity matters in the workforce, okay? Round here, we do not discriminate by height, age, race, or weight. Diversity is the cornerstone to our workforce over here at Good Diversity is the key cornerstone of our workforce over here at Good Pussy Incorporated. Here at Good Pussy Incorporated, we hire our staff based on excellence, commitment, drive, and proven potential. Yes. Now, aside from diversity, I would say another thing that's important to consider when building a roster is convenience. Yes, how convenient are these men to your life? You can't just be picking men because they look nice. We're not 21 anymore. When you're 21, yes, you choose men because they look nice and you like the idea of how things look. But as you get older, it goes from how it looks to how it feels. And then as you get a little older, it goes from how it feels to how much it benefits your life. So we've got diversity, we've got convenience, another key factor to consider when building your roster is leverage. What sort of leverage do you have with each guy on your roster? So, for example, if one of the guys on your roster really, really, really likes you because he's never met a woman like you before, and you and him happen to have the same crossover of mutual personal special interests, then that's a great way to assert leverage. If another guy on your roster is much older than you and you know exactly how to throw your weight around and get what you want, there it is. That's the leverage working in your favor. If another guy on your roster, maybe like you've known him for such a long time and he's fancied you for a really long time and he just wants to be useful to you, that's another way of harnessing and benefiting from leverage.
What if in 2024, you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, and rooted in real-life situations. Plus, they're delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. And this is why Babbel works for me. As a pole dancing girly, as you might know, I enjoy going to Berlin to pole jam with my friends. And over there, German is a language that's spoken. And even though I studied German in secondary school, I've forgotten quite a bit of it, which I'm embarrassed to admit. However, when I use Babbel out there, it's super convenient for me because I can learn real life conversation skills, and it's easy for me to just pick up on the words I need to order food, ask for directions, speak to salespeople without having to scroll on language apps or feel that embarrassment of freezing mid-moment when you forget a particular word. Something I particularly find really useful about Babbel is their speech recognition technology, which helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. So in the spirit of us glowing up our language skills this year, here's my gift to you. I present to you a special limited-time deal. Right now, you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only if you're listening to the Slumflower Hour, though. So you can access that at babbel.com/slumflower. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/slumflower. That's spelled babbel.com/slumflower. Rules and restrictions may apply. So maybe 2024 is your year of being a multilingual baddie. Well, Babbel's your friend for that, because Babbel is helping millions of people like yourself quickly and confidently have real-world conversations in a whole new language. I don't know about you, but I'm in the mood for brushing up on my skills, feeling confident, and trying out new things. I've actually got a fun fact to share about Babbel. Did you know that Babbel's personalised learning content, real-time feedback, tracking and visualisations help keep you focused and motivated? That's why 15 hours with Babbel is equal to one university semester. Just think about that. All it takes is just 10 minutes a day for you to learn everything you need to have real-world conversations, from vocabulary words to culture. All accessible on Babbel.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So another thing to consider when building your roster is, what would you benefit from the most right now? These are thoughts you have to consider, because, again, you don't benefit from a man being good looking. You don't benefit from that. What you do benefit from is a man being generous. You don't benefit from a man being tall. What you do benefit from is a man having a tall wallet. Do you see where I'm going with this? So you need to put your big girl wig on, your big girl glasses, your big girl t-shirt on, and start looking at your life like a domain for investment, because that's what it is. You deserve investment. You deserve to be invested in. And men should be putting their time and energy into pleasing you. That's not much to ask for, given that we live in a world where men murder women and men threaten to kill women for choosing to not sleep with them. So, other ways to decide if a guy is useful. You know, you can have a guy who just enjoys bringing you food or making you food. He can be on the roster. You're not fucking him, but he's still there on the roster because he brings you food. It's nice to have a guy who brings you food. He doesn't even need to know that he's the guy who brings you food. All he needs to know is that you are receptive to his company and attention, and he likes that you are reciprocal in the kindness by, you know, hanging out with him, letting him know how your day was, giving him conversation, allowing him to enjoy your energy. That's more than enough. But yeah, he's the food guy. So you got a food guy on the roster. Let's see, another guy on the roster could be a guy who sends you money. Of course, that one's a given. Like, there'll be a guy on the roster who sends you money. There'll be a guy on the roster who pays your rent. It could be that the guy who sends you money and pays your rent might be the same guy. We love that. There could be a guy on the roster who maybe just buys or sends you random gifts because he wants to and because he likes you. Now, at this point, you've got food guy, bills guy, gift guy. It's looking good. Maybe you might want to throw in a guy who looks good and takes you out on nice dates. All right. Just because. At this point, you've got a nice, diverse roster of men who are playing certain roles. Now, some women might hear this and be like, oh my God, that's so selfish and sad that you have a guy who just brings you food and you don't give him anything in return. I would like for my people to free themselves from the shackle of assuming that they owe men things in return. Men expect free sex from you. Do you know that? Have you heard? I'm not sure if you know, but men expect sex from you. Men expect emotional labor from you. So how did we get to a place where you believe that you owe men stuff in return? Don't you think that's weak? Can't you hear how weak you sound? Can you not see how you are creating an easier opportunity for men to take advantage of you? And this is not to be conflated with victim blaming. This is me just saying, like, you're shooting your own goals. Like, what the hell, girl? Talking about, oh, what do you give in return? I give him nothing. Get used to hearing that. I give him nothing and he still gives me more. Yes. When you water a flower, Do you wait for the flower to jump out of the soil and give you a high five? Or do you enjoy the feeling of watering this flower and watching it blossom and bloom? Right then. So if you cannot separate yourself from the ideology that you owe men stuff because they're being nice to you, you ain't never gonna be free, girl. And my work is not for you. In fact, escort yourself out, because my biggest ick is talking to women who just cannot separate themselves from patriarchal conditioning. It's like you will show them a clear map, an easy way out, and they'll be like, but isn't that going to hurt men's feelings if I stop letting them use me? God. And those are the same women who be like, oh, but having a roster, that just sounds so exhausting. Having a roster, that sounds so mean and cold. Girl, let me tell you what's exhausting. Focusing all your energy on one man and hoping and praying he doesn't cheat on you. And you're that person who's sending paragraphs and checking his phone. That's not only is that exhausting, that's embarrassing. Because I promise you, I can guarantee you, if you're talking to multiple guys, you're not going to feel compelled to want to check his phone. Because the only reason you feel like you need to look at his phone is you want to check that you're not being taken for an idiot, because you've put all your energy into him, because you've emotionally overinvested way too soon. You've given way too much investment to him. If you're not overinvesting in a guy, then you're not going to feel as bothered by the way that he acts. You'll just be like, okay, I'm just going to talk to my other guy. And that's what keeps you level-headed. That's what allows you to not become this emotional, reactive, sensitive person who is constantly crying and having breakdowns in front of this guy. Oh my goodness. It really annoys me. Oh, it really annoys me when I hear, oh yeah, I was crying and I told him that I'm really sad about his behavior and he saw me crying. Girl, oh, why are you revealing your cards like that? What's wrong with you? Why would you do that? What do you mean he's seeing you cry? He knows you've been crying. Oh. You know we only cry for strategic purposes. We only cry when we absolutely know that we're going to get something out of this. And yes, that is manipulation. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Just like misogyny is manipulation. Just like how men manipulate you, Miss Crybaby, into giving them free sex. And yes, I said giving them, because the moment you start to grant a man access that he hasn't earned, you're now just giving him the sex. You feel like you're participating in it, but the reality is you are giving him an experience he hasn't earned. Miss Crybaby. Because look, in me saying Miss Crybaby, I'm not shaming having emotions. I cry. We all cry. Crying is necessary. But my thing is, I've always said this on this podcast, and I'm have to say it again for the new girls that I've just joined. You got to save your tears for the group chat, save your tears for the girlies, save your tears for your mum, save your tears for the community of people in your life who actually will hold space for your more complicated feelings. You don't be crying to that man about how he makes you feel. You got to find ways to hold that cry in. If at all, you must cry in front of him. Make sure you get a handbag, a shoe, some cash out of them tears, or else you look stupid. Because what he sees is weakness, and I don't agree that it makes you weak to cry. I don't think it's weak to cry. I think it's weak to cry to a man about how he treats you, though. Because you can transmute those emotions into either seeking revenge, i.e. moving on, or transmute those emotions into getting some cash or reparations out of his bad behavior. But crying makes men feel like they got the upper hand. And that's what really irks and bugs me. I don't like that shit at all. So if you had a roster, you would be less emotionally invested in just one person. Therefore, you would not be crying, because you would just have an outlook where you're like, oh, this guy is acting funny. Well, I guess I'm going to hang out with my other guy. Because the guy who I thought I was going to hedge my bets on has given me reason to believe otherwise. Good thing I didn't overinvest in that one. That would have been really embarrassing. Now, if you are not a woman who has multiple guys you're speaking to, maybe because you haven't found other people to resonate with, or maybe because you are just not that interested in other people, and it's very rare for you to find connections with people, you have to really, really learn how to practice detachment. Sorry, babe. I know you got this fairy tale in your head that you're supposed to just find the guy you like and emotionally enmesh with him. That's a recipe for disaster. It's not going to work out. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news. That shit's not going to work out. Just count your days with him. I promise you, you'll be back. You will come back to this podcast. You'll be like, oh, she was right. Fuck this bitch. Don't say I didn't warn you. Because there's nothing wrong with liking men. There's nothing wrong with being connected with a man. There's nothing wrong with enjoying being in the good place with a man. All I'm saying is, always have your options open. Can't just settle for that man because, oh, you finally found someone who finds you tolerable. Girl, are you okay? You sound like you don't like yourself that much if all it takes for a man to have your full attention is him laughing at your jokes and finding you pretty. The question is, why didn't you already find yourself interesting and pretty? Because if you already think that of yourself, it's not hard to have a roster. And the great thing about a roster is that you get to play football manager here. You get to decide who's going to be a striker, who's going to be a midfielder, who will be on the bench, who's going to be the goalkeeper. Okay, you are shuffling these men's roles and they have no idea. I'm telling you, you must give it a go. I implore you, give it a try. Because all of you lot that are doing up, oh yeah, this is the one guy who I really like and I really want to marry him. How do you know you want to marry him? Because you're not dating other guys though. So you have nothing to compare him to. All you have to compare him to are like past men that you have dated. Like, but that's all been one by one experiences. So when this guy who you really want to marry suddenly starts acting up, you're not sleeping well at night. You're not eating. You're dysregulated. You're crying. Instead of to go and build your roster and your workforce and go and diversify your sources of joy and happiness. You're there binding yourself to one man. Meanwhile, the man you've bound yourself to has multiple streams of pussy, multiple streams of attention. Do you know that? He just knows how to hide it. And you're here being, oh, I'm really honest and truthful. They just think you're stupid. You're there doing, yeah, I'm going to be completely transparent with him because transparency is the foundation of a healthy relationship. Not with men. Not with men. Transparency is earned. Truth is earned. Trust is earned. Transparency, truth, and trust are the three components that somebody must earn if they're a man. Do you know that? Can't just be leading with honesty with men. No. No. You got to pick and choose the things you're going to reveal about yourself. And then you have to select other things you're going to be ambiguous about. That he has to earn that information if he's a good boy. Because most of these men don't end up showing that they're a good boy. Most of these men, they trip over. They fall by the wayside. They get impatient. They get carried away. They get complacent. They get too comfortable. And then you get to say, "Ooh, well, thank goodness I didn't invest in this one. Thank goodness I didn't have sex with him." Because I'm telling you, if you're clinging on to just one man at a time, I promise you, I can, and this is not me speaking bad of your situation, I'm just saying, I promise you, you'll be back to this podcast episode and you'll be like, for fuck's sake. I'm telling you, being pretty is not enough. Sorry to break it to you. Being pretty is not enough. Having a popping personality, not enough. It's not enough. Let me tell you what's enough. Having a mindset where you are healthily detached, but equally healthily involved when things are going well. Let me tell you what works. Being unpredictable. Yes, when you are unpredictable, it's not that you are erratic or hard to read. It's that men can't necessarily predict your next move. So you're still a mystery to them. So you're still interesting to them. But they're a little bit scared of you because they know that if they decide to move mad, you'll move madder. And in your case, moving better is you moving on. Men hate when women know how to move on. Men love when you're that woman who, after he's embarrassed you and you've been sending paragraphs, you still go back. They love it because all they see from that behavior is that they've still got power over you. That's it. Men care about pussy and power. If they have both in one person, you are finished, dude. You're finished. Because they can keep you tethered on that string for as many years as they want to, and there is nothing you can do about it. Do you know that? Have you heard? I'm just saying. So this is why when I come across women who are doing their, like, I just really like this guy, I want to marry him, I don't even bother giving advice anymore. First of all, I'm not somebody that gives advice unless the person specifically comes to me and asks for advice. But if the person asking me for advice, I can tell they're not going to leave. I'm not even going to give my advice. I'm just going to be like, look, well, you know, you're going to do what you're going to do. So I don't really know what to say. Personally, I don't like this guy for you, but you're still going to stay. So I, whatever you choose, you know, I'm always going to support you. I don't even be tearing my body anymore. I don't be wasting my energy anymore. Oh my God. I'm not doing that, guys. Listen, I used to be that person, yeah, who will sit up, devise a plan, exit route, strategy on how to leave. Here's what to say to him. Parting words. Oh yeah, come and be going. Waste all that energy and then you still go back. No. Mm-mm. It's actually not going to be me whose energy you'll waste, you know. Nowadays, the girlies who be doing their monogamous boyfriend, I just be like, look, did you have a good time? Good. That's all I want to hear. Are you happy? Good. That's all I want to hear. Just keep your complaints. Go out and find another friend. Go out and complain with who you two can stay in your cycle together. I'm not doing it. La, 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 la. If you're not talking about leaving, we're not talking about anything, girl. Because I'm not wasting my energy. Because you know I'm going to tell you to get another man. You know I'm going to tell you to go find someone else to flirt with so that you can regulate yourself and realize that your life is not coming to an end. You just need to talk to other guys. That's it. You haven't lost your source. You just lost your ability to control your energy with this guy because you got too carried away with liking him. That's it. Everything is fine. Just talk to another guy. That's my perspective, girl. And that shit works for me. Can you see? Clear skin, clear mind. I sleep well at night, girl. The only thing that keeps me up at night is TikTok, babe. Like, sometimes I might scroll through TikTok and I realise it's 3 a.m. I'm not up at night tossing and turning, wondering if he's talking to another girl, because the reality is he should be worried about who I'm talking to. Okay? And also, I think that for a lot of women who feel scared about this idea of talking to other guys, remember that you don't need to tell men everything. So you need to learn to shut the fuck up and stop saying everything just because you feel like you have to. You feeling like you have to is conditioning, because men are not going to come and sit you down and tell you, by the way, I pressed somebody's breast yesterday and I'm also following this girl who I told you that I unfollowed, but I really want to look at her bum. Oh, and also I'm still messaging my ex on Snapchat, by the way, just in case things don't work out with me and you. I'm messaging my ex on Snapchat. Yeah. A man is not going to sit you down and tell you all that, but he expects you to be truthful, because men expect you to be stupid and weak, and men view oversharing and over-truthfulness as weakness. Do you know that? So if you're not a weak woman, then you may want to revise your strategies and update your choice of movement. If you are a weak woman, that's your calling, isn't it? That's up to you. You can rebrand what weakness means for you. You don't have to go by my definition of weakness. You can choose whatever you're going to do. I'm just saying, certain activities breed certain results. And if you want a certain outcome, you're going to have to behave in a particular way that's going to create that outcome. So you can't be doing one thing and expecting another, i.e., You cannot be over investing in one man and expecting that life is just going to be easy breezy and that man's going to reciprocate your over investment just because you gave a lot. That's not how men are. That's not how men are. I believe, like I said, multiple streams of attention, multiple streams of income, multiple streams of affection. And then whoever out of them streams proves to be the most diligent, dedicated and consistent, he gets to be the main bae of the month. And main bae of the month can become main bae of the year. Main bae of the year can become main bae of the decade. And before you know it, that could become your man that you're married to. Okay, so it's the process of elimination. May the best man win. And what does the best man win? He wins your heart. He wins your attention. That's it. That's all. You don't have to be giving men pussy and giving them shit you don't want to give them. Like, your attention is more than enough, guys. I promise you. Men cannot live without women's attention. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever get it twisted. And before I wrap up this episode, I want to remind you that you have the power because you have the pussy. And based on that, you are the prize. So if you decide you want to have a roster, you call the shots. Make sure it's a really good, robust roster. No fodder, no filler. Every guy on there must play a key role because you are the queen. And if you're not going to have a roster, make sure you pick a guy who likes you way more than you like him. Because if you cannot hand on heart say your man likes you more than you like him, girl, you in danger, girl. And you know you cannot lie to yourself. And no, liking each other equally doesn't count. He has to like you way more. Way more. So if that man don't like you way more, just count your days with him, babe. Count your days and start setting up your roster of replacement. Because I promise you, the day will come where you're going to feel like Boo Boo the fucking fool, head of Zippo Circus. Because you went and put all your energy into that one man and he's shown you why he shouldn't have done that. So if you don't want to be that person, you've still got time right now to reverse engineer the situation. You have time. That's the best part. You have got time. You've got time. In the grand scheme of this conversation, beyond the convo of dating, you have time. Tomorrow, you could decide that you're not dating this guy anymore and your life will look completely different. Tomorrow, you could decide to upgrade your roster and your life could be completely different. Tomorrow, you could decide to abandon the entire roster and just live for yourself and your life could look entirely different. You have got time. So, goodbye. Thank you. And as always, I will see you in the next one.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.